All righty, we are at the Antlers on a Tuesday afternoon. The Laker Hockey Show coming your way. A little technical problem here as we get on the air tonight, but we'll get that worked out. We've got big news as we start off our show tonight. We do have the Players of the Month. We're just named late this afternoon, and guess what? Two Lakers in the bunch. Will Rydell's Defenseman of the Month, not the week. And Louis Bidone is Rookie of the Month. And Will Rydell did it kind of quietly. 3 goals, 6 assists for the month. He's also a +8 for the month, and he's a +11, one of the Lakers' leaders in plus-minus overall. In fact, he may be the leader at +11. And Louis Bidone, 2 goals, 6 assists, 8 points on the month. He's Rookie of the Month. Dryden McKay, who's been Goaltender of the Week about 8 times this season in the league, is the Goaltender of the Month. 1.14 goals against average, 9.35 save percentage, and 3 shutouts in the month of February for the Minnesota State goaltender. And I think he's only a sophomore, too, so we got to put up with him for a while yet. Steven Jandrick, the junior from Alaska, 5 goals, 7 assists, 12-point month. He was the forward of the month. But Damon, we'll move you in now. That's pretty darn nice. The Lakers get 2 out of the 4 players of the month in Will Rydell and Louis Bidone.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it too. You know, Will a little quietly. You know, it's he's played really good hockey, obviously, and a very critical piece of our team in all situations. You know, he's a top four defenseman for us, and you know, often plays against the other team's top lines. He's done a really good job, and deserves a lot of credit to work his way into our power play, where he's been, you know, really effective and you know, really taken a step to his game that way. So over the last few months, he's been a pretty regular. On our regular guy on our power play. Obviously, you know, when Sockerman went out, there was a bit of an opportunity for Will to maybe grab a bigger role there, and he really took advantage of that. So he deserves a lot of credit for his work there and sticking with it and developing, you know, his power play attributes and certainly a top penalty killer as well. But, yeah, very quietly and very steadily, you know, he's been really, really good for us. You know, him and Arvid Henriksen, so he's playing with the freshman defenseman for a lot of those minutes as well. And, you know, sometimes that's not the easiest thing to do. You're kind of that mentor to that young guy on your other side. And they've been really, really strong together as well. So it's good to see Will get that recognition. I think it's very well deserved for the way he's played. And, you know, same with Louis. You know, Louis had a really strong year. I think he's the second leading rookie scorer in the WCHA behind a defenseman, Rosen, who we'll see this weekend again in Bemidji. But Louis is the top rookie forward in the league scoring wise, and you know, very, very skilled player. You know, he's just been playing really well, and you know, well deserving of these accolades with a strong month. You see his confidence really growing. You know, his skating ability is so elusive and so quick and powerful. Leads to a lot of offense for him, and just high end vision. You know, could make plays, can score. I loved his power play goal on Friday night to see him really just unload on that puck and gain a little bit of confidence with his shot as well. So, yeah, very, very nice to see those guys get rewarded. Louis also the WCHA Player of the Week. So, you know, kind of a double accolade for him this weekend. And nice recognition for the guys.
Yeah, they played well on a weekend, too. The Lakers get a sweep at Ferris State, second season in a row. We have swept the Bulldogs down there after I can't tell you how many years of frustration in that building. It was a long time before we won a game.
I think it was like 11 years. And, the first couple of years, I remember coming in and saying, we got to get some of these bad trends, you know, off our backs. And we hadn't won here in so many years, and we had never swept Tech in so many years. And, you know, it was nice. So it had been a long time since we won a game there, and now we've swept back-to-back years. So that's good progress, and it was a strong weekend. So sorry to jump in on you there.
No, I think we played really well. That's what the point I was going to make. The first period Friday night was as good a period as we played all season. We allowed them 1 shot on goal. That was legit. Had 10 ourselves, scored a couple of goals. Ashton Calder scored a beauty. I thought we were really good, aggressive at the top, and really strong defensively down around our net in that first period on Friday night. We win 5-0 and then 4-2 on Saturday night. Much more of a battle on Saturday night as we thought it might be, but 2 good wins for Lake Superior going into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, and I you know, I'd go a step further. You know, the first period, like you said, you know, just really controlled play. You look at the shot margins, things like that was really good. But I thought our first 40 was tremendous. You know, we're up 4-0 through 40 minutes. I think the one negative you can pick out, and I guess as a coach, you sometimes go to that side of it or the teaching side of it. You know, I thought we let our foot off the pedal a little bit in the third period. You know, Merrick's had to be really good to earn that shutout. And, you know, we've been in that situation a couple times the last month or two where we had a chance to put a zero on the board and help our goaltenders, you know, get a shutout, and we weren't able to shut the door there. I think it shows our lack of maturity at times to let our foot off the pedal there. So it was great to see Merrick's get the shutout, and I thought he had to earn it in the third period where he didn't have much to do up to that point. But a little bit disappointed that we didn't have a little bit better effort through 20. We had to kill some penalties, and that hurt a little bit as well. But a really good game again. You know, Calder had a big weekend along with Hampus and Braden Gelsinger. I think Braden's play as of late is just, you know, really, really taken off. You know, we've talked enough about him missing so much time early on. He's back. I can only imagine where he would be and where our team would be if he was here all year long. But that line's playing really well. You know, you already mentioned Louie a little bit and the play of his line. You know, Brendan McKay, shorthanded goal on Friday as well, so he continues to play well. And again, I think a little under the radar is the play of Yuki Miura in his line with Mans and Muka. I thought those guys played really well also. So we went 7D on Friday. I thought that worked really well for us. And, you know, liked a very good effort from almost everybody and a really dominant performance. And kind of as you said, you know, we are a little bit worried about Saturday. Obviously, you know, we knew going into the whole weekend that we couldn't move up or down. And so it was a little bit challenging to kind of find a way to motivate and approach the week for the team. But I thought our guys handled it really well. You know, Saturday, as you probably saw up top, you know, we really just rolled lines for the most part. You know, we didn't match much as you can on the road at least. And, you know, a lot of times, obviously, your top guys are getting more minutes. We felt like it was important to try to come out of there as fresh as we could. So really rolled lines. You know, that had a little impact. I thought it was, you know, an awesome story for Roman Bangert. If everybody remembers when Roman came in, he got really a shocking and poor ruling from the NCAA that he was not eligible year one. It was due to the type of contract he signed with his advisor, and we didn't think any way he'd be ineligible. But unfortunately, he was ruled ineligible because of a, you know, just kind of a weird loophole on that. So it cost him a year. And I think from there, the way Nick Kossoff played those couple of years, the way Mitz came in, you know, we never really allowed him to get into a better position to play more minutes. But he's done a good job for our team. You know, very, very dedicated to the game. He's a 4.0 student. So, you know, really couldn't write a better script for Roman to get in and get his first career win. And, you know, I thought, you know, we weren't as good in front of him as we were in Merrick's on Friday night. So Roman had some work to do. And it was really great to see him get that victory.
Yeah, and the guys, you could tell, they were really happy for him. Just the way they came on the ice at the end of that game. You win 4-2, and you're not moving anywhere in the standings. You're still in seventh place. You're, as it turns out, going to go to Bemidji State this week. We'll talk about more about that in just a moment. But I want to mention also that, you know, it was a really good weekend for Ashton Calder. He had a goal and 3 assists. Now, normally that's going to get you real serious consideration for forward of the week, and it did. He was the runner-up to Steven Jandrick, but wouldn't you know it, Jandrick has a 3-goal, 2-assist, 5-point weekend against Anchorage, so he beats out Ashton there. But I thought Ashton was really good on Friday night. I think he had 3, if not 4, breakaways in that game. He measures the play pretty well. He sees what's going on, and he steals pucks, dumps him past the D-man, and then beats the guy down the ice.
Yeah, and, you know, he got hauled down the one. I think we all thought it could have been a penalty shot, and we're kind of hoping for a penalty shot, but, you know, we never got a chance to score on that one because he got hauled down and then scored on his next one. But like you said, you know, a lot of good chances. You know, he's playing with such urgency and power to his game, and that's when he's so effective. You know, he's had a great summer. I'm sure the strongest he's ever been in his life with that great summer and kind of a rededication or really just learning. You know, I think that's one of the things we talk about being up here in Sault Ste. Marie. You know, when we recruit kids out of Toronto and Vancouver and Minnesota and Detroit, these guys are surrounded by all these gyms and these strength coaches that are specialized in hockey. We don't have much of that up here. So our guys, our young kids coming up, our players, we're a little bit behind because of some of that and, you know, lack of ice and things like that. So, you know, it's really still the tip of the iceberg. As good as he's played, being an all rookie team member last year, I think tied for second in our team this year, having a great year. I still think, you know, he's going to continue to get better and better for us. But that power, that urgency, he's done a really good job of that lately and just had a great, you know, couple months here and a big part of our team.
Yeah, and he did finish runner-up in that forward of the week balloting, too, in the league. And Pete Violette, another good weekend, 2 goals, had a goal in either game. He's got 12 on the season now. That's a really good season for a sophomore. And another good game for the quiet guy. Will Rydell comes up with 2 goals, and he scored a beauty on Friday night. That was a great play from the corner Hampus Erickson put it all the way across to the left side, and Will read that perfectly and just banged it in the net.
Yeah, I thought he had, you know, two really nice goals. That was a rush goal. You know, we spent a lot of time. You know, we struggled early with some of our rush offense and you know, playing with better habits and better speed. So we've really pounded on that for a while, and that was the goal. That's how you get rewarded, by doing that right. So again, I think it was Ashton Calder that set that up with middle drive. We called it. Ashton had a great middle drive. They actually had Cam Clark, who was playing center the last week or two, but used to be a defenseman. But Cam Clark was covering for somebody, and because Ashton drove hard to the net, he made Clark pivot and turn to cover Ashton, and that allowed Hampus to make that pass over to the dot lane to Will, who buried it. We drew up a faceoff play. Must have been the night. Oh, no, that night. That was Saturday night. And, you know, off a media timeout, we had a faceoff play where Louis won it back to Max. Instead of, I think everybody in the league expects Max to shoot that puck, he showed a little fake shot and went across over to Will up at the blue line for the one-time goal as well. So Will was really shooting the puck well. And I think he started that by starting about Pete Viet. And again, a little bit quiet like Will. You know, he's got two or three, four more goals in the three-on-three and the shootouts. So unfortunately, I think his numbers would be even more impressive if, you know, those counted in regulation. But guys are playing well. You know, we have guys playing the right way at the right time of year. We're getting contributions throughout our lineup, which is great to see. And, you know, we feel good about our game going into this. Now it's a big test, and Bemidji's been outstanding. But we like the way we're playing, and we're excited to go out there for the playoffs.
Well, it's going to be a really big series, and I think the Lakers are going to be a lot tougher team than maybe Bemidji State thinks. You will. I think if you look at the stats in the second half, and I think Grant Patolny did that before we played Northern, Lake Superior is one of the better teams in this league. Statistically, Merrick's Mittens has improved markedly. Our goals against is way down. Our defensive play is way up, and we're scoring goals. We're starting to get a lot of good play from our secondary scoring, and you know that's evidenced by McKay now has four goals, and some of these other kids are starting to put the puck in the net who are playing on the third and fourth line, and that's going to be a big difference here this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Man's had a power play goal. I think we had three power play goals on the weekend in the shorthanded, so it was good to get some special teams, and that was a big impact on the weekend as well. But I know we like the way we're playing. As you just said, I think we're a different team than we were certainly early on at Bemidji. I think that was probably the wake-up call when we went out to Bemidji and got smacked around pretty good. You know, we came home with being refocused and tried to play the right way. You know, I think the team we're seeing now is a team we thought we could be all year and had a chance to be. You know, having said that, we've not had a full lineup all season long, and I would have loved to see this team with everybody healthy and ready to play. So I think that defensive progress that you talked about, we're a top 10 team since Christmas on, I think eighth in the country or so. And, you know, doing that without Colin Sockerman, who's one of the best defensive defensemen in the league, I guess well-rounded, he can contribute offensively. But Sock was one of those guys that would be matching up against the other team's top lines, blocking pucks, blocking shots, you know, contributing offensively. So I think our D-Corps deserves a lot of you know, credit for the job they've done to kind of come together with the loss of Sockerman. Certainly our goaltending, led by Merrick's there as the number one. They've done a really good job of committing to playing the right way and then locking things down defensively. So that's been good. That's been real good progress for us. We know how frustrating early on it was because we weren't getting those performances in net or as a team defensively. We were way too loose early on here. So it's been really good to see, much needed. And again, we like the way we played it. We thought this was a team we could be all year long. And, you know, that tough start, I think, really set us back and, you know, sent us staggering. But we've recovered now, and now it's the new season. So we're going to go out there and find a way to get this thing done.
Well, we've got questions from the fans who are with us here at the Antlers, and we do have a nice turnout again tonight. We always appreciate that, and we've got plenty to talk about with Bemidji State and some recruiting work as well. We'll talk about that in the second half of our show. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We'll talk about Bemidji right after this on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back for the second segment of our Laker Hockey Show tonight, live from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten and Matt Pockets engineering for us here. And Matt will be broadcasting the games back from Bemidji this weekend. And this won't be easy, there's no doubt about that. This will not be Ferris State we're playing this weekend, Damon. But This is a team we played pretty darn well the second time we played them. And you remember that first part of the season, you'd play somebody, and 2 weeks later you'd play them again. You'd either be at home or they'd be away. And this one, it was Bemidji beat us pretty badly at Bemidji, 7-1, 5-1. We came home 2 weeks later and played them late in the month of November, right before the Christmas push. And they beat us 4-1 the first game, but we played pretty well in that game. And then we played very well the Saturday night game, and we got the extra point. It was a 2-2 tie through overtime, and Hampus Eriksson scored the goal that gave us the extra point in the second overtime. And I think they got to be thinking about that a little bit. We played way better in the second half of the season than we were playing then, and we gave them a tough time then.
Yeah, we did. You know, I think one thing that is interesting, you know, as you move into week your game prep for the week, you know, you're trying to take as much information as you can. You're certainly looking at trends and you know, a lot of video work and things like that, but you're trying to glean other information. You know, I think for them, that first series, you know, they talked a lot about revenge. You know, they knew the playoff from the year before when they came in and we swept them in our building. And, you know, for them, they had really built that up into, you know, a big weekend for them. And, you know, they came out and showed that, you know, and again, we were kind of reeling, trying to find our own identity there. So, you know, I think they deserve credit for that weekend, did a good job and took it to us. But again, that was a bit of our wake up call. You know, that next weekend, again, we were, and I think it was, I think at Bemidji was the first time Nordy got hurt. Jacob Nordquist got hurt the weekend before. So, you know, we were short some key guys and, you know, had to learn, had to adjust a little bit as well. But this is a heck of a hockey team. You know, Coach Cerutori has done an unbelievable job. They're one of the best teams in the country since Christmas on. You know, we've been really strong since that same time frame, not quite as strong as they've had with just a great, great push and a great run. So a lot of different weapons, a very quality team. You know, I think in some ways, you know, you have to maybe not start with Driscoll, but certainly give Driscoll a ton of credit. He's got tremendous numbers this year. They do a good job in front of him, but, you know, you're not going to beat him on the first shot. He's a very talented goaltender and having a tremendous year, you know, great numbers, one of the best in the country. So, you know, that's been good to see for their point of view, what they're getting there. Brady's having a great year. I think he's only, I think he's got 11 power play goals, maybe 13 power play goals. You know, their power play has been unbelievable the second half as well. You know, our discipline, I haven't liked, you know, maybe some of the calls you don't like, but we can't put ourselves in our position to go to the penalty box with Brady and other guys. Rosen, the freshman D, having a great year, leading the conference in rookie scoring. So a lot of good weapons on that team. You know, they have a lot of team speed and they use it well. You know, any type of turnover, any type of transition, you know, they just look to really push the pace and get out of the zone there. And to me, that's the real key to the game, is our D, our high forward, being aware, being on the right side of pucks there to limit some of their transition. I think they're going to get a couple just by the nature of the way they play. But that's the key right there, you know, is being aware and being alert to their speed and their ability to turn defense to offense with some transition game. You know, we've got to do a real good job that way and be alert.
Yeah, we've got some players who have as many points or more than some of them. Max Humitz is actually the overall leader between the two teams with 32 points. But Adam Brady, the young guy, the senior you just mentioned, 17 goals, 11 of those are on the power play, 14 assists, 31 points. That's one shy of Max in points, and it's two shy of Max in goals. Max has 19 goals right now, and, you know, he picked up two assists on the weekend at Ferris State, but he wasn't his usual self there with the way he can score, but he was doing some other things that were really good, as such as setting up Will Rydell on that goal from the blue line on Saturday night. Owen Sillinger, a sophomore, has 12 goals. They got Aaron Miller, a junior, with 12 goals. And then Charlie Combs, who's always been a thorn in the side for the Lakers. He's only a junior. It seems like he's been around forever, but he's always scored against us. He's the guy that ran into Sackleman, that tore up Sackleman a little bit and cost him the rest of the season, too, and he cut across at the blue line. But they've got goal scorers. They can put the puck in the net, and they're all plus players. I think they have one minus player on their entire team, and it's Adam Brady. He's minus one.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the way their season's gone. I think they reflect our team a little bit last year. You know, they had pretty good success early on, and they just learned to win. They play within themselves. I think, you know, we watched their Friday night game. You know, we've had, you know, maybe one advantage that we hope it could be is we've known where we're going to be. You know, going into Ferris, we weren't moving there. So our prep turn towards Bemidji State a little bit earlier than it typically would, especially with playoffs looming, even though we weren't for sure we were going to play Bemidji State. So we wanted to be a little bit careful how much we invested. They obviously had a league championship on the line, so I'm sure their focus was on Mankato, and especially at home trying to fight for WCHA championship there. But, you know, we've really had a lot of time to dissect their game and break them down, and you know, feel pretty good about our approach and the way they play. And they know us well. We played four times. There's not a lot of secrets going back to playoffs. But like you said, you know, Coombs has been good against us. Nick Cardelli has been really good against us, you know, not having a huge year points-wise and things like that. But Cardelli always finds a way to get open and create offense. So I like the makeup of their team. They've done a really good job. They play with a ton of speed. You know, and like I said, Coach Territory has been around a long, long time and does a really good job with that program there. So tables are turned a little bit. You know, we got to go into their building this year, and you know, they're going to remember that last playoff. But I think we've got to get a little bit of that revenge mindset going in there. Be angry, be hungry, and find a way to just go in as road warriors and get the job done.
Well, they are ranked in the top 10 in both polls that are out right now. USCHO's had them up in the top 15 almost the whole second half of the season. They're gaining respect, and they've only got three seniors. This is a team that's going to be good again next year and the year after. They've got a lot of young people who can play, and you mentioned Driscoll a few moments ago, Damon. 1.62, the goals against average, and his save percentage is .937. He and Dryden McKay are, you know, the cream of the crop in this league, although we think Mittens could play right with both of them and has in the second half.
Yeah, no question. I think you know, a lot of faith in Merrick's and his ability, and you know, we've got no qualms going in there with Mitts, and you know, ready to match that performance at the other end. You know, I think both quality goaltenders in Driscoll and McKay, you know, a little bit different scenarios when you look at how overpowering Mankato is, you know, really most of the season. You know, Dryden does not face some of the chances that you know, Driscoll probably faces, or certainly Mitts has to face, because of the depth of that lineup and the skill throughout the Mankato lineup. And, you know, again, Bemidji, one of the real dangerous parts about their game, you know, on any change of possession, they're finding a way to transition. You know, a lot of times it's a hard cross ice rip or the glass and get it out with guys flying. So they do limit second chance opportunities on Driscoll, because they're going to get looked to advance pucks and get pucks out of the zone there. So they play a good structure in front of Driscoll, which helps him out, but really like him. He's had a good year, really tough to beat in that first shot, as I mentioned there. And, you know, it's a big test this weekend.
Yeah, they got a really good defenseman in the senior Tommy Muck. He's a plus 15. He's got four goals, but he's always good defensively. He helps out Mr. Driscoll quite a bit back there. And talk a little bit, the kid you mentioned earlier, Elias Rosen, the young guy. He's a freshman out of Sweden. He's got a lot of Nordquist in him. There are a lot of similarities there, but he's a really good hockey player.
Yeah, you know, see some similarities that way. Like Nordquist, he's got a very high IQ. Sees the ice very well, you know, and so he can distribute pucks and break pucks out, and then smart enough to be ahead of the play where he can jump and activate and get involved. And whether that's on the rush, on their zone exits, or at the offensive blue line there, and he shoots the puck extremely well on top of that. So a very dangerous player. You know, Tommy Muck, as you said, a senior, has played a lot of hockey, very experienced guy for them. You know, he's a dangerous guy and a tough kid to play against. One of those areas that Coach Territory does such a good job is their stick habits. And I think, you know, going back, watching the last series, you commented quite a bit, you know, they always seem to get a stick in a passing lane or a stick on puck to disrupt a play. So they're very detailed in their structure and their habits they play with, and real credit to the job Tom does with them.
We're going to take a break. It's our second of the night. We've got a lot of questions from the fans who are with us, and we'll be right back with more from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Okay, third segment of the show tonight, Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten, Matt Pockett's here as well, and we got Sam Cox Engineering back at the radio station. The team's going to fly out. I thought you might go Wednesday, but it looks like you're going to go on Thursday, and you're going to fly from Kinross to Minneapolis and then bus up to Bemidji. What's that, about 4 hours, four and a half,
yep,
right there?
Right, yep. About that, yep.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because that'll save legs right there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you definitely want to, you know, do all you can to have your guys ready to play, and, you know, that'll be a good way to do it.
Yeah, that's going to help, I think, a lot. The sleeper buses are good, but not when something big's on the line like this, and it is big. It's a playoff series. It's 2 out of 3. Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern time, 7 Central time over at Bemidji. And then it's 6 o'clock, I believe it's at 7, the second game, and that'll be a little bit different for us here. So it's going to be, you got to keep an eye on the clock and know what's going on there with regard to what time the games are. We've got questions from our fans here as usual tonight, and Damon will get right into those. How do you plan to contain Adam Brady, who has 17 goals and 11 of them on the power play?
Well, I think that's, you know, the answer is kind of in there a little bit. You know, we've got to start at the penalty box. There's no question, you know, and they make it tough because of their team speed. They skate extremely well. You know, they set up foot races and try to use their speed to you know, draw penalties and create offense. So that's a big key. You know, if we're going to be shorthanded, you're going against a power play that's at 33% in the second half. There's a good chance they're going to really harm you and take advantage of that. So a lot of discipline, which means, you know, they're forward group, you know, is a little bit undersized, and we've seen that not too long ago. So they don't have a ton of size up front, but they've got a ton of speed. So, you know, being above pucks, being in the right position early on, and, you know, just making the right read so you don't get caught on the wrong side is really important here. We think there are some matchup that we like because of our size advantage, especially in the back end. But with their team speed, they can really challenge you that way. So if we're going to have a chance to contain Brady a little bit, it's going to be 5-on-5. Not that he can't score and damage you that way, but he's certainly going to hurt you in the power play. So team discipline is going to be really important.
Okay, another fan writes that if the season were a month longer, the way the Lakers have been coming on in recent games, we'd be in the top half of this league. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, there'd sort of be a chance. I mean, I think everybody can play that game a little bit. You know, again, I would have loved to seen our team full go. You know, we didn't get our full lineup at all. You know, when you're losing, and I think again, injuries are part of it, so you can't change it. But Braden Gelsinger is, you know, and I told Braden a couple of weeks ago when he got healthy, you know, he totally changed the dynamic of our top six. You know, we were lacking a guy to play, you know, in the top six, and there's a senior with a lot of experience and scoring ability and speed and all those things. Top penalty killer, power play guy, you know, and when Gels finally gets back, we lost Sockerman a couple of weeks before that, you know, Nordy. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're not where we want to be or need to be. I mean, this is more, I guess, postseason talk, but the question was asked. So we needed to be better. We should be higher than we are. I thought we really missed some opportunities. Part of that was, you know, not learning how to win games and close games out early. Part of that is, again, not having that full lineup. But I would have loved to seen our group with everybody ready. And, you know, that's the nature of the beast a little bit there. And, you know, tough on those seniors that, you know, you want to have that great senior year going into pro hockey. And it's great to see Braden getting back to near 100%. And certainly, you know, a really difficult thing for Colin to not be part of this. So, yeah, I think we could have been higher. And if we extended it, yeah, we'd have a chance to keep climbing.
Yeah, you got to feel pretty good about this lineup right now. On Saturday night, we sat out Mitch Oliver, who I thought played pretty well Friday, but he's still kind of banged up a bit, and he needed some time there. And you bring in Alex Ambrosio, and he did a good job. Alex Ambrosio is going to be a good player for us next year. I can see him at center ice with a number of different people that he'd be effective with. And you got to talk a little bit about the play. I thought Tyler Anderson was really good on the weekend. He's been real good in the second half. If he continues to do that, that's going to present problems for the Beavers this weekend. And Samandel played well. I thought he did a good job.
Well, you know, I think I want to start with Alex Ambrosio. You know, I'm just looking here as we're talking. He's played 34 of our 38 games, you know, and then the last couple of weeks, we had a couple small minor injuries on the back end, so we wanted to go 7D. We got in the senior night against Northern there, and we wanted to get Ian Johnson, you know, in the lineup for that. And so we felt it was really like Alex had to play. We had to get him back in. We're still dealing with a couple things lineup-wise that you know, make some determinations from us based on some availability and how guys are feeling this time of year. But we felt like, it was, you know, Alex is an important piece of our team. And he missed, I think, 3 games straight, which, you know, hadn't happened all year. He hadn't missed a game all year until recently. So we wanted Alex back in the lineup, and we really liked his game Saturday. He can have a tendency to get back in and want to, you know, want to prove to every single shift that he's ready to go goal for you. So he's got to be, you know, smart with some of his hits and finishing bodies and not taking penalties, things like that. But we needed him back in. You know, Alex Amandel, you know, with the Sockerman injury, has had a chance to go in and play quite a few games now as well. He's up to, you know, 19, 20 games. And, you know, he's 6'2", but he can really skate. And so that skating ability helps Alec, you know, break pucks out, win foot races, defend, and take away time and space. So, you know, we really like the way Alec has played. And, you know, he'll be a big piece, especially against a team against like Bemidji, who can skate as well. So, yeah, we're without Sockerman, you know, everybody else is ready to go, and it's competitive. Our forward group has been pretty solidified for a while here. I mean, those of you who follow closely know we haven't juggled lines in quite a while, and that's a credit to the guys in those roles. They've gone out like Brendan McKay and contributed. Again, the man's line, a little bit overshadowed by some other guys in the years they're having, but been really, really good for us. You know, they sometimes on the road, they might try to, the opposing coach might try to put a top line against them, and the way Yuki plays, and Manzi's so good on faceoffs, and you know Miro's taking a really good step with this game. So we like the pieces we have in place right now, and now guys got to go back it up in a tough environment.
Another question we've got here tonight, how do we stop Bemidji's sideboards oriented type attack? They like to chip the puck off and they like to catch it in that neutral zone, but they do tend to stay to the outside as much as they can until they get down into the offensive zone. Then they try to put it into the slot area for the goals, and they're pretty good at it because they're so quick.
Yeah, well, without getting too much into it, you know, that's, you know, we hit it a little bit already. You know, their transition game is the real strength, in my opinion, to their team, certainly to their offensive attack. They do some other things defensively that are really good and make it hard, you know, to create a lot. And then you got Driscoll when you do break through a little bit. But, you know, it's a good question, you know, and I think a lot of it comes from our reads. You know, we can't be caught on the wrong side of pucks. If you get on the wrong side of pucks or you cheat offensively, they're going to make you pay and burn you. So that's the biggest point we're trying to drive home. Let's be on the right side.
Well, we've got another question here that probably, I'm not sure we should direct it at you, Damon, but maybe it'd be good if you know about it, because probably somebody from sports information like Kelsey Smith should be the person to hear this one. But other teams put highlights from their games on their YouTube channel, and Lake Superior State has a YouTube channel, but it's not updated ever. Can we work on that to get our highlights on YouTube?
Yeah, I'm not sure I realize that. It's a great point, a great question. I know we were over the, you know, in the I don't know some of this technical side here, but, you know, obviously the flow hockey and the in-rink camera, different angles, I don't have access to that very often. We usually just use our coaches feed. But I thought, and I know in past years you could go on and watch, and sometimes we'd go watch it because we could see the way a goal happened from a different angle instead of just our coaches feed that we use. So great question. And yeah, I definitely think that's important that we get that up there. So we'll work on making sure that's ready to go probably for, you know, down the road at this point. We can use Bemidji's this weekend, but yeah, that's good to know, and we'll work on that. Thank you.
Well, the WCHA carries a lot of highlights too, and if you look on the WCHA webpage, you can generally pick up highlights from the games, and they'll have the home team play-by-play on there in the background and show all the goals, etc. But it is different, and anything you can get, any publicity,
always
is
good.
Yep. All the time. Now, we've had some interesting things go on the last couple of days. I don't know how interesting this really is at this point, but the CCHA has hired a marketing firm. It's a firm called Bozak and Company, and they're going to be, they work with education programs, with higher ed, and they're going to be working on the branding for the new league. And I know there's really not too much we can talk about there. I just thought I'd like to mention that looks like they're making steps in the right direction here.
Yeah, and I know the commissioner search came out in some different social media channels as well. So there, you know, there's work being made. I think, again, that's probably more of an off-season topic, as you just said there. But, you know, those steps have to be, you know, taken and move that process forward there. And, again, I think off-season we can really dig into that a little bit further.
We used this several times on the weekend. I thought it was really good. The scholar-athlete list came out from the WCHA, 92. Scholar athletes listed, and that means 3 point and better. And the Lakers had 10 young guys on that list. That's pretty darn good. And I want to name them. I did this already on the weekend, but in alphabetical order, it's Alex Ambrosio, Tyler Anderson, Ashton Calder, Ian Johnston, Yuki Miura, Miro Muka, Jacob Nordquist, Mitch Oliver, Colin Sackleman, and Pete Violette, all scholar athletes, and that's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
There weren't very many teams that had more than 10. I think Minnesota State had 12, Bemidji also had 10, and there was one school in there, maybe Bowling Green or Alaska Anchorage, had 11.
Yeah, no, you know, it's great to see. I mean, this is a great group of kids, and, you know, that's why here. For me, it's really important that they do a good job that way, and, you know, we try to stress that and recruit the right student-athlete to Lake State to have success both on the ice and in the classroom. So we're probably, I think our team GPA was 3.4. Freshmen are not eligible for that. You have to be after your second semester, so some of our freshmen will join that. And I guess I probably shouldn't mention names, but, you know, two of the guys you mentioned, one of those guys, I think after his freshman year, was a 2-3, and, you know, we lost it on him. Like, we were so mad to come in and just really struggle. And you know, I think that, you know, you almost have to try to not do well to be that low. So we really, you know, got after him a little bit, challenged him, also tried to help, you know, show him the resources that were there to be more successful. And now he's on, you know, the all academic team or the all academic list. So that's awesome to see. And again, two of those guys were kind of in similar boats that way. So, you know, it's important to us to do well. And I know we got to St. Mary's this week. We had March's Reading Month guys in the classroom, and so some of the people listening, your sons and daughters were over there, and they had a good time. The guys got to be mystery readers, and when the players walked in, the kids were pretty excited about that. So, you know, we're trying to make sure we do things the right way, and it's a credit to our players that they're doing such a good job of it.
Well, there are a lot of things Laker hockey players do that a lot of people don't know about. I saw some pictures, some photos on the social media of the game. I forgot all about this, that we even played it out at the prison. The guys finally got out there. I think they've been about 3 years since they've had a chance to get out there, and they hobnob with the guys who are behind the fences out there, and they have quite a rink. It's an outdoor rink. They love the game. They're huge Laker hockey fans. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of them aren't listening to this show tonight, because they're big fans of Laker hockey, and that helps us. I mean, those guys go out and do a really good job with the residents out at Kinross Correctional
Facility. Yeah, that was a little bit unique for me. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different community outreach that you're asked to do, that you try to do. You know, we've had a great partnership with United Way and many other community members. And that one was a little bit new when I got up here last year. I think it was a bad storm. We didn't get out there the year before. I think it was a flu outbreak out there. So it is unique. I've never been. It's usually a bye week and I go recruiting. But our players, you know, have really grown to enjoy it. And it's just, you know, it's a very unique situation. And none of them are quite sure what to think there. But, you know, we appreciate them having us out. And I know for them it means a lot to the residents, as you mentioned, and called them, that, you know, it means a lot to have us out there and do that. And that they do a great job on the rink, and they have gifts. And so our guys have really enjoyed it, and we're glad we get out there to do that.
Yeah, we should have the radio crew out there, because that's probably our biggest listening audience we've got.
That's right
there.
That's right.
A lot of them listen to Laker hockey, and they can't come and watch us play, so they've got to use the means that they have. We're going to talk a lot about recruiting here in our last segment tonight. We're going to take another break, though, and we'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Well, we're back for our final segment on the Laker Hockey Show, and if the Lakers, well, whether they win or lose this weekend, we will have a show next Tuesday, so plan on that. We're not going to be finishing things up until the Lakers season is finished up, and we're hoping that this team can pull the big upset out at Bemidji and play on even farther, maybe be going to Mankato a week from now. We'll be sitting here talking about playing against the Mavericks, and we'd like that.
Yeah, no, that's the goal, right? Again, this is the best time of year for anybody who loves this great game, and certainly for those who grew up playing it. You know, these are the moments you kind of dream about, you know, being that guy that gets that game-winning goal in a playoff series. And again, it's a tall task, but I like it. You know, we're excited about this trip and this opportunity, and yeah, our goal is to be back here a couple more Tuesday nights with everybody, continuing to talk about the playoff push and you know, that next road trip, and keep just moving this thing forward.
Well, the Lakers do play at Bemidji State this weekend. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday if necessary, a 2 out of 3 series for the right to move on. The lower seed will play the higher remaining seed, so you can kind of figure out what's going on with the bracketing there. The number two question that we get on this show every week concerns injuries. I know that Colin Sackleman's out for the season. We've talked about that many times with the lower body injury. And Mitch Oliver's kind of fighting off some injury and some illness here. But other than that, I think we're pretty much ready to go here this weekend.
Yeah, beyond Colin, as you said, you know, who did run back home with spring break going on to follow up with some medical appointments there. So, you know, hopefully Colin, he's progressed well for him. Again, he's not going to return. So, unfortunately, we can't get excited about that. But, you know, he'll be back there. But, no, we're full go, you know. And even, you know, for this time of year, you know, we're in a good spot. I think – our travel the last couple weeks has us fairly rested as you can be this time of year. Certainly that 6 o'clock game down in Big Rapids, it was nice to get back home at a good hour. And the ability, you know, knowing that those games didn't have an impact on our standings, we were able to really play a lot of guys and roll lines and, you know, try to be as fresh as we can be, knowing that there was a tall task ahead of us with Bemidji State.
Yeah, they're going to be tough, and we're going to talk about recruiting here. I get a lot of questions every week about recruiting. Now, we know some of the players who are coming in because they've signed national letters of intent, and the way I've got it at this point, we have three forwards for sure, with maybe another one. Josh Wildauer was playing in Coquitlam in the BC League. Spencer Denbesti was playing in Johnstown in the North American League. And Benny Posa was playing in Des Moines in the U.S. Hockey League. Now, they're coming for sure. We're not sure about any others. Are there other forwards at this point that you know have signed national letters of intent who are coming to Lake Superior?
You're going
to
get me in so much trouble with this because they're all going to get calls and texts. What's going on, Coach? I should have like a folder I bring and just
don't name anybody who has a sign.
Well, and that's what it, you know. I wasn't. You know, this has been Bemidji, and you know, your end of the season. So certainly, you know, recruiting doesn't, you know, ever go away or change. And I've got calls to make tonight. So, I honestly haven't looked at recruiting in about 6 days because it's been all Bemidji prep. You know, again, it's going to move. Those guys you mentioned, I think are for sure. I think there's others that, again, I want to double check, analyze, and see where we're at. But, you know, we're going to look to get better any way we can get better. I don't want to be evasive, but I have to be because I'm not overly prepared for this question. I need to do a better job for you guys, and I know people love to hear about it. But we're going to add – you know, anybody who we think makes us a better team. I think that's, you know, part of our job, you know, is just to be ready for departures and just be as competitive and as deep as we can be. So, you know, I like our group returning. I think we have a lot of guys who can emerge. And, you know, when you look at Ashton as a junior, Hampus as a senior, the step Louis will take, Pete will take, guys like Gamlin and that whole man's line, you know, I think we've got a lot of really good pieces returning. And these guys that are spitting into here are going to help us. You know, we've talked about Percelli. We've talked about Genuine. You know, we got some work to do in terms of when they'll be ready to go. But I think we're going to be a real good forward group. So I got to clean that up for you next week or postseason and get you some better answers there. But we'll keep working on it.
Well, while we've got the two guys who have come in here this year and are now able to practice or go to school and kill off at least one semester here, that's Logan Genuine and Brandon Puricelli from Duluth. Is there a chance that either one or both might be able to play before next January? Because that was the talk last time we talked. Is there some thing that you can do with the NCAA to make an appeal there?
Well, we're good. Yes, there are different appeal processes, and I think, you know, we'll explore everything fully. There's also still some legislation out there on the transfers. You know, there's a lot of schools fighting for a one-time transfer exception in hockey where you'd get one time to transfer and be immediately eligible. You know, we don't know where that's going to go. I think the last I saw, I think it might be retroactive. So these guys could possibly fall in that if the legislation changes that way. So I think it's too early to tell, but we definitely would like to explore that and see if they fall in any of these waiver requests that might fit their situation.
Defensively next week or next season, you're going to have a lot of good players back. Lucas Kybel will be back for his senior year. Jacob Nordquist will be a junior. Will Rydell, we've already talked about how well he's playing. He's coming back next year. Mitch Oliver, Alex Samandel, Mike Manera. Those are all guys who can play and all help. And you've got a couple kids at least coming in the Gervais kid from out in the BC League and also the young man out of Sweden, Bengston. And there may be even another one after that. I've got another name down here. I'm just not sure if you signed an NLI as yet. But you could have as many as 9D again next year. That's good.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the, you know, blessings in disguise, maybe, I guess, and I hate to refer to injury that way, but, you know, Tyler Anderson as a junior is out of eligibility, so we'll lose Andy as well. But for the most part, we're already used to Sockerman's departure where, you know, had he not gotten hurt, that would be a big hole. You know, you're looking at Humitz and Gels and McKay and Basilico. So, you know, those holes to fill. You know, we've already, you know, identified guys who are going to replace Sockerman in the lineup. And, you know, that's going to help us down the road. I would never do that at a player's expense. But, you know, we've learned a lot about this decor and these guys that you just mentioned are returning. So I think we start off in a real good position of, you know, where guys fit in and what their strengths and weaknesses are. And I think it's already a really good decor. And then when you add in Gervais and Bankston, you know, some different types of players in those guys, but two guys that I think are both guys who can step in and contribute from day one. It won't be easy because of the depth and the competition back there. But I like the way that decor is really shaping up. And, you know, I'm really high on Jacob. I think he's outstanding, you know, a little bit different than guys we have. Maybe Will Rydell would be the closest in style of play, I would have to say. And Gervais, probably a little bit of Nordquist in terms of that high end brain and reads. So, you know, I like the way that group is shaping up. And then, you know, we've talked about the goaltending as well. You know, Mitz has played, what, 34 games or something like that? I think he might lead the country still in games played. The way he's played since, you know, probably more like early to mid-November on has been outstanding. So we're starting off really strong there. Seth Eisley would have gotten some time had we not come to that decision with him to try to hold on to that red shirt. And then, you know, Ethan Langenager, you know, Salmon Arms off to a 3-0 playoff start there. I didn't look after last night's game, but after the first two games, I think he was second in the league. He's got a shutout, playing really, really well. And him and Gervais are teammates up there, but we're real excited about what Langenager brings to the program.
Yeah, well, you're liable to have some difficulty there, and you got goaltenders who all want to play, only one could play. That could be a different
challenging. You know, when we see what happens in today's world when those minutes aren't there, you know, that transfer portal changes things and guys move on. So, you know, we'll do our best to manage those minutes. You know, that would be a good problem. If they're all good enough to play and you know, be a number one or fight for a number one, that's going to make us a really good hockey team. And, you know, we'll manage the locker room as needed. Once we get to that situation.
Well, it's a team that's gotten better as this season's gone on, and you know, you mentioned the Sackleman loss. That's a horrible loss. We all love that kid, but I'm sure you're going to see him. He's if he's out seeing a doctor here this week, he'll probably show up in Bemidji. He's going to be right there in the backyard anyway, and he loves his teammates, so he'll try to be there. But that has helped in a way, in that guys who probably wouldn't have played as much have seen a lot of ice, and
for the future.
Them.
Yeah, it helps for the future, and you know, that again, you never want to give that up for future development, because you want Colin Sockerman in your lineup. You know, I think, you know, he's got six goals. He'd still, you know, fourth, fifth in the team with you know, half the games played. So had he played, he was on pace to maybe score 15, 18 as a defenseman, and that's just ridiculous. And you know, he's a great player, and I think I'm pretty confident he'll have a good contract waiting for him once we know a little bit more about the recovery and where that's at. So, you know, he was able to really you know, have a great 4 years, and it's just really unfortunate the way it ended for him. But he'll go on to a really good pro career. He's a guy you want in your organization. He can play many different roles at the pro level, and I'm excited to see him, you know, down the road and where what works out for him.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen in the offseason either. Somebody could come after a Will Rydell, who's having such
Absolutely.
A great finish, or a Nordquist or a Keibel. I mean, we've got to be ready here and have those guys waiting in the wings to fill in. That's college hockey, and that's the game that we all follow so closely. Damon, good job here again tonight. Thanks to all the fans for being with us. Thanks to Matt Pocket for everything he does to keep us on the air here. And we'll have another Laker hockey show next Tuesday. Matt will have all the games for you this weekend. It'll be 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock this weekend, if necessary, from Bemidji. And that's another Laker hockey show from the Antlers on ESPN 1400.